The Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we were listening to the game last night, and it just kind of struck me in the middle of it. I'd just been informed for the thousandth time that it is coming home. When it struck me, all our problems with face masks and singing can be resolved if we play a football match in the middle of church, and then the rest of us can sing. So that seems to be allowed. So I think we should have a football match. Does anyone like playing football? Anyone enjoy playing football? Yeah, we got some football. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I would get Wayne to bring us down some bibs, couldn't we? Do you know what? Half-time oranges, sliced already. We've got everything. We've got everything we need to play a football game, apart from one thing. You're right, Ben. I didn't bring a football. Oh. See, playing football without a football is not going to work very well, is it? Tell you what we could do instead. All right, we could watch a DVD. All right, Fireman Sam or Octonauts. Fireman Sam or Octonauts, what do you reckon? Votes for Fireman Sam? Oh, a few. We've got a few of our Welsh friends here. Anyone for Octonauts? Oh, okay, it's pretty close to one thing. I think it's Fireman Sam. Okay, all right, we can sit and watch it. Sit and watch it. Is that fun? You're right, Noah, there's no DVD there. We can't play football because we haven't got a football. We can't watch a DVD because there's no DVD in it. We can't sing because we're not allowed to use our voices. This doesn't work, does it? What's the equivalent in church? See, every church will have something that's at its center, something that kind of people gather around. There will be something that kind of makes it worth getting out of bed to come together. Why do we come together? What is the thing at the heart of church that if you take it away, it stops being a church? Like if you take away a football, it stops being a football game. You take away a DVD, it stops being watching a DVD. What is it? What is it in church? And there'll be all kinds of things. So some of us really like old things, old buildings and architecture, old music, old liturgy. The Book of Common Prayer. Could we take that away and still be a church? Others of us really like new stuff. The kind of trendy, cool pastor with the ripped jeans and the grungy t-shirt and the tattoos everywhere. You know, if you don't have a pastor like that, is it a real church? Some debate. The latest hipster coffee after church. Can you take that away and still have a church? What do we need to have to be a church? And Paul makes his point really strongly in those verses we just read. I don't know, would it be possible to have that back up on the screen? Sorry, that's just to confuse everyone with that. Oh, thank you very much. Four times in three verses, Paul repeats the same two words. And in fact, those two words come in almost every single one of the opening verses of 1 Corinthians. As we start this new series in 1 Corinthians this week, Paul writes, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in very good, Noah, Christ Jesus, called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord. Well done, Noah. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord. Well done. Paul is not subtle. He's making a point that if you take Jesus out of church, out of the center of church, it's a bit like taking the football out of the game of football. What you're left with is nonsense. And the further Jesus is removed from the center of a church, the more problems that church will run into. And we're going to see in coming weeks, this church in Corinth was a church that had a lot of problems. So how can we work as a church to to keep Jesus at the center. And Paul's got two truths for us this morning. I'd like to just pull out of verse 2 that I think will help us keep Jesus central in our lives as individuals and as a church family together. And the first thing Paul wants people to know in Corinth is that the church is a group of people who've been called together by Jesus Christ. And church is a group of people who've been called together by Jesus Christ. So I don't know whether this still happens in school. It's a bit cruel sometimes when this happens. But when I was at school, do you remember being in PE lessons? And the PE teacher picks two captains. And we think, well, who do I want to have on my team? And the one captain kind of looks around and goes, oh, you know, I want Shane on my team. And then the other captain thinks, oh, you know, who on earth can keep Shane in line? We better have Alison on my team. And you know how it works? And there's two ways of doing it. Can I do some appalling gender stereotyping? There's like when I was at school, this may not have been true university, but when I was at TRUE, there was the boy who was really good at football, and he'd pick the team and he'd pick all the best players. And there was this really lovely girl. And you know who she'd pick? She'd pick her friends. How does Jesus pick his team? When he stands and he calls people to him, you know, he doesn't pick the best players. He doesn't pick the people who are really good at life. You've got it sorted. The clever people, the funny people, the smart people. He picks the people he loves, the people he likes. We've got no idea why. What on earth is it about them that makes him love them? We don't know. But if you're a Christian, he loves you, which means that the church is a group of people. That's why Paul is writing to these people in Corinth. The church is a group of people. It's not ultimately this building. That's not what the New Testament means when it talks about a church. Church is a group of people who are loved by Jesus, who he's called together. So if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you don't become a Christian by coming to this building. Become a Christian by answering Jesus' call. When he says, I want you on my team, come. And you say, yes, I'll come. And what happens then? You find yourself on a team, and it's like being back at school, because you might find yourself on a team with the people you really like or the people you maybe don't like so much. But you've got to work together. You're called together to be on the same team. And what is the church? The church is a group of people called together by Jesus. What have we got in common? We've got the same best friend. Isn't there, there's something very powerful about that, isn't there? I met someone the other day. I didn't know him very well. We got chatting and we suddenly discovered that we knew the same person. I hadn't seen them in 20 years. I was like, oh, do you know Lisa? Yeah, I know Lisa. And suddenly our relationship went that bit deeper. What happens if you share the very best friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same King? Well, who are we? We're a group of people called together by the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes sense that, or kind of helps us answer that question. Do I have to go to church to be a Christian? I think the Apostle Paul wouldn't really have understood the question. You know, of course, if someone's in prison like he was, or if someone is sick or can't get to church, of course you can be a Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? Means with all the blessings and all the hardships of being lumped together with a group of people who are almost as sinful as you are, being part of a church, a group of people called together by Jesus. And we're going to see that God is doing something amazing with the church. He's making them to be like Jesus. That's why it says called to be holy, different like God is holy. God is different. We've seen that Paul wants us to know that a church is a group of people who are called together by Jesus. But listen to that verse again. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. See, what does it mean to be a church? It means to be not just a group of people called together by Jesus, but a group of people who call on Jesus together. Let's imagine we're having tea in the pensioners hall and there's an emergency. very severe emergency. I've stubbed my toe and it's really, really painful. And I'm hopping around. Ah, call an ambulance. Right. And you get out someone's phone. We wouldn't do this for real unless there was a real emergency. But let's imagine. So what's hopefully everyone's watched enough Fireman Sam to know how this goes. What's the first question the person on the other end is going to ask? Brilliant. And in Fireman Sam, they always do it with a Welsh accent, don't they? Which 999? Which service do you require? I'm so sorry for those who actually can do a Welsh accent. Sorry. Which service do you require? So I've got a terribly injured foot. What do I need? Do I need Fireman Sam there? Bella, I need an ambulance. Quick, my toe is so sore. Okay, and they're going to ask where we are. So we're going to say we're in the pensioners' hall next door to the church in Audley. So we get the idea. If you're in a crisis, what do? You call for help. Let's imagine we're walking down the street and someone's left a manhole cover open and we fall down this great big dark hole and no one's noticed. What would you do?
Call the police.
Call the police. Might call for police. That's a good idea. Amelia, what would you do? You call for your mum? Try and climb out. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so you try and climb out and let's say you can't. Bella, what would you do? Call Fireman Sam. That would be an excellent thing. Maybe we can't reach our phone. I think I'd be tempted to call out for help. I might do it quite quietly at first because I think I'd be a bit embarrassed. But I might then start calling quite loud. So should we just practice? Can anyone give us things like, how do you call for help when you really mean it?
Doctor.
James, that was... You didn't sound like you really meant that. Anyone else? Wait, give us a go. What does it sound like when you... Amelia, give us a go.
999.
You scream. Give us a shout. How would you scream if you were really stuck? All right, we can put our fingers in our ears. Everyone brace. Amelia, are you sure? I think if I was stuck, I'd be getting help! Can we get louder than that? Anyone shout louder than that? Go for it. How would you shout? Oh, okay, all right. I think we can probably go louder, but you get the idea, don't we? If you're in a hole, if you're stuck, you shout for help. What is a church? A church is a group of people who together know we are in a particularly deep, dark, horrible hole by nature, and only one person can help us, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? We call on Jesus. We call on Jesus, and we have the privilege of doing that together. See, there are some things that we are good to do by yourself, but they're even better when we do it together. So, how many hours do you think Raheem Sterling has spent doing keepy uppies in his bedroom by himself? How many hours and hours must he have spent doing that? But how much, if we asked him, which is better, sitting in your bedroom doing keepy uppies or playing with your team? How much better to do it together? Yeah, really interesting. Have you noticed when people are out running, they always look miserable? I always feel like when I go for a run, I went for a run a couple of times this week on holiday, and I came back, and Nikki just looked at me afterwards, just went, "You look awful." Have you noticed when Audley Striders go for a run, they always look like they're really enjoying it? What's the difference? There's a group together. There's something about doing things together that just makes it a richer, more wonderful experience. And it's the same with prayer. Praying by our own is a really important thing to do. Jesus commands us to do it if we're Christians. But it's so much richer when we come together and we call together on the name of the Lord. I'm just hopeless. You read these stories of these spiritual giants of the past who would get up at 3 a.m. and pray for 3 hours. I can't do that. But you know what? If I'm with a group of people and we're praying together, I can pray for an hour. We're going to try and do Tuesday night at the Central Prayer Meeting. Will you come and join us? I think we'll be on Zoom again this time, 7:30. Just block out an hour. Let's come and pray together. I was so encouraged by a friend of mine. He's one of the godliest men I know. He said, "I've never wanted to go to a prayer meeting in my life." He said, "I've always been so glad when I have." The idea sounds horrible. Just sitting awkwardly in silence or sitting awkwardly with awkward silences for an hour. It's not what it's like at all, is it? When we're praying together, we're calling on the Lord together. Um, and And wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the mark of us as a church? If we called on the Lord together, if home groups, that sometimes at the end of home groups, prayer is just feels rushed or cold or a bit awkward or a bit rote. Wouldn't it be great if more and more, I mean, those times happen, don't they? But wouldn't it be great if more and more home group times of prayer were times of crying out together from the heart to the Lord? I know that happens. It'd be great if that was more and more the case. Maybe there are folk we could pray together with, boys and girls. If you're not in the habit of praying as a family, maybe you could ask mum and dad today before lunch, could we say thank you to Jesus for our lunch? Maybe you're a married couple and you both love the Lord, but you haven't got in the habit of praying, or you got out of the habit of praying together a long time ago. It'd be incredibly hard, wouldn't it? But so important to say to your spouse, Can we try and get back in the habit of praying? And if someone has the habit, has the courage to ask that, please don't say no. What are we trying to do together? We're to be a church, group of people called together by Jesus, who call on Jesus together. So you take Jesus out of church, it's like taking the football out of a football game. It's like taking your voice out of singing, like taking a DVD out of watching a film. What happens when Jesus is at the center? Well, we can look at one another as people who have a joint mutual friend, our best friend, the Lord Jesus, group of people called together by him. And the more and more he is at the center, the healthier we'll be as a church, the more and more we'll be calling on Jesus together.